This episode is brought to you by Odmo's Pizza in Cambie. Handmade awesome pizza plus craft beer, wine, and cider. Delivered. Call them today at 503-263-8444.
Welcome to Now Hear This, Cambie,
your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans, and its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
If it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
Welcome to the Now Hear This, Cambie podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Martina Baker, and this is what's happening this week in our community. A beloved tradition returns to downtown Cambie this month, as the city and local businesses will again welcome thousands of costumed children on Halloween for door-to-door trick-or-treating and other festive fun. The city-hosted event will be from 3 to 6 p.m. at participating businesses on Sunday, October 31st. Organizers are encouraging even downtown businesses that might normally be closed on Sundays to open for Halloween in anticipation of a huge turnout due to both the one-year hiatus and the fact that the holiday falls on the weekend this year, which tends to spur attendance. The Cambie Fire District will also be handing out candy in conjunction with the city and business owners. Businesses that plan to participate are asked to print and display the event flyer in their store windows to signal they will be handing out candy, basically the downtown Cambie version of leaving the front porch lights on during Halloween. Some businesses or nonprofits located outside of the downtown core may also participate in the event in the form of a pop-up trunk or treat or tent or treat. The city nixed its downtown Cambie Spooktacular Village celebration last year due to the COVID-19 pandemic and related statewide restrictions on large events. However, smaller, more socially distanced observances were encouraged and did take place, including a trunk or treat event at the Clackamas County Fairgrounds and Event Center. A 35-year-old woman has been sentenced to more than 7 years in prison for her role in several burglaries that happened in evacuated areas of Clackamas County during the destructive wildfires of September 2020. Sandy Faye Lennox pleaded guilty to multiple charges, including first and second degree burglary, theft, and attempted burglary. The investigation began on September 11, 2020, when deputies were patrolling evacuation zones in Clackamas County during the wildfires and were dispatched to a report that two suspicious people may have been seen trespassing on a property on Ringle Road near Molino. According to the CCSO, deputies found several suspects. Among them were James Dean Shotwell and Lennox, both 34 at the time. Authorities say the two suspects stole gas-powered generators, a box of tools including a cordless drill, leaf blowers, and at least one gas can from a neighboring property. Both were arrested and charged with theft and burglary, but the investigation continued. Deputies recovered more stolen goods following the arrest, and new cases developed with additional charges filed against Lennox. Clackamas County deputies found a trove of additional stolen items in search of Lennox's car, from jewelry, collectible coins, medals, and gems to a laptop, sewing machine, and other household appliances. Authorities say these valuables were linked to several other local burglary cases and returned to their owners. Many of the victims had evacuated their homes during the wildfires, police said. After pleading guilty to multiple charges on September 21st, 2021, Lennox was sentenced to 90 months in prison on Tuesday. Shotwell pleaded guilty to second-degree burglary and first-degree theft in November 2020 and was sentenced to 18 months in prison. For photos, find this story on our website, canbefirst.com. After a three-week break, the Canby's Farmers Market returned with an All Hallows Eve-themed bang this weekend, featuring a nationally recognized carver and the Oregon wilderness's most famous cryptid. It was the second coming of the winter edition of the Canby Farmers Market, which had a successful run outside Canby Pioneer Chapel last fall. This year, the event will run every Saturday from this weekend to December 11th. Organizer Alexis Purcell took out all the stops to kick things off this past Saturday, inviting kids to come in costume and trick-or-treat at the various vendors. Pumpkin carver Ryan Anderson, whose work is being featured nationally on the Food Network show Outrageous Pumpkins, hosted by Allison Hannigan this month, was also there to slice up some fun. A chainsaw carver who typically works with wood, ice, and more traditional mediums, Anderson decided to roll the dice with the second season of the Food Network's annual Pumpkin Carving Contest show in hopes of winning the title of Outrageous Pumpkin Champion and $25,000. New episodes air every Sunday in October on the network and are streaming on Discovery Plus. Purcell tells Now Hear This Canby, the market will feature about 25 vendors, including seasonal produce, craft food and drinks, handmade items, and holiday gifts. The market is located on North Holly Street between 2nd and 3rd Avenue. For photos, follow the Canby Current on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You've heard of Little Free Libraries, the public bookshelves located in neighborhoods across the country operating on the take a book, leave a book model. Now meet the Little Free Art Gallery, located at 1285 North Locust Street. The project is the work of local teenager Liberty Peterson and her family. A senior at Country Christian School in Molalla, Peterson said she got the idea from seeing a similar concept in Seattle while visiting her older sister at college. "I thought it was so creative and so amazing," Peterson recalled. "I love that so many people could come together to create something so cute and nice and fun, and I wanted to share something like that with my community too." Much like Little Free Libraries, the diminutive art gallery offers pocket-sized pieces. Their dimensions vary, but most are approximately the size of a postcard. Anyone is welcome to take home their favorite, provided they replace it with a masterwork of their own. For those who are less than artistically inclined, the gallery is always open for viewing. Peterson built the gallery with the help of her dad, a professional contractor, and painted it herself. It comes complete with tiny plastic figures, which Peterson found on Etsy, enjoying the, from their perspectives, life-sized artwork. Since the Peterson homestead is far out in the country, the gallery was planted outside the grandparents' house in central Canby. The pieces currently on display were all painted by Peterson and her family and friends, but she hopes Canby embraces it and makes it their own. The art gallery opened last week. Keep up with the latest by following at Little Art Gallery of Canby on Instagram. Cougar Country, hometown sports coverage is brought to you by Rife and Hunsaker PC. When you need an attorney, turn to the firm Canby has trusted for over 50 years. Call them today at 503-266-3456. For the latest sports news, follow us on Twitter at Cougar Country OR. The number 5 Canby Cougars football team took down 9th-ranked Scappoose on the road this week in the much-anticipated clash of Northwest Oregon Conference West Titans. After galloping out to a 27-0 halftime lead, the Cougs managed to weather the home team's furious second half rally to bring home the 33-21 victory. Canby improved the 6-1 overall and maintained its perfect 5-0 league record. In a showdown between two of the NWOC's top quarterbacks in Canby's Mikey Gibson and Scappoose senior Lucas McNabb, it was an old-school night for Canby as the Cougs found the bulk of their success in a relentless rushing game, cashing in on the legs of their two-headed backfield monster of senior Bryce Oliver and super sophomore Tyler Canold. Oliver, the workhorse, mopped up the bulk of the carries, while Canold again keyed the dynamic Cougar attack, piling up more than 225 rushing yards and 3 touchdowns. Oliver and Gibson also punched in touchdowns in red zone situations to round out the scoring for the Cougs. All of Canby's scoring came on the ground, surprising considering Gibson led 5A in passing touchdowns going into Friday night's game. Gibson finished 10-for-16 for 120 yards with 1 interception. Canby will stay on the road next week against Forest Grove before wrapping up the regular season at home against the undefeated first-ranked Wilsonville Wildcats. In volleyball action this week, a shorthanded, or is it short pod, Canby Cougar volleyball squad struggled in Three Rivers League play, dropping rematches to St. Mary's Academy and the first-ranked West Lynn Lions. Canby faced West Lynn at home first, missing key cog Chloe Annas and 2 other players. Going into the match, we were already outmanned, so missing some starters was tough, Coach TJ Schlatter admitted. But we went in with a mindset of let's have fun and make them work for it. Thursday was the rematch the St. Mary's Blues have no doubt had circled on their calendar since Canby took them down at home last month. Schlatter said that she knew they would be tough to beat a second time around, especially at their gym. But she was proud of the effort her players put in, saying, quote, "They didn't back down and they didn't quit. And as a coach, that's all you can ask." The Cougars head to number 7 Oregon City on Monday and will wrap their season at home Wednesday versus Lake Ridge. The Canby boys and girls soccer teams went winless this week, but in strong performances. The boys had what Coach Ryan McCormick felt was their most complete game of the season on Wednesday at Lake Oswego. The Cougs fell behind early 2-0, but battled back to tie the score with less than 5 minutes in the game. Unfortunately, the Lakers were able to counter and preserve a 3-2 victory. On the girls' side, the Cougs put in perhaps one of the finest defensive performances in league play this season, holding number 2 undefeated Lake Oswego to a single score in the Lady Lakers 1-0 victory at Canby. The Lakers boast one of the most potent offenses in the state and are leading the Three Rivers League in goals scored this season.
Are you a healthcare hero? Do you want to become one? Are you looking for a position where you are valued, your time is your own, and you have ample opportunity for growth? Marquee companies at Hope Village in Canby, Oregon offers all of that and more. They are currently hiring nurses, caregivers, CNAs, and enrolling students in their free CNA course. From competitive wages and up to $25,000 tuition reimbursement to flexible schedules and the opportunity to make a positive impact on someone's life, Marquee at Hope Village is the right place for you. Take your career to the next level and apply now to become a valued team member at Marquee at Hope Village in Canby. To learn more or apply today, text CURRENT, that's CURRENT, to 888-906-3432.
Hey, Frankie, what are you doing?
I'm trying to figure out which TV option I want to use when DirectLink turns off their video services in January of next year. It's so confusing. Do you know there's about 40 million streaming services to choose from? Which devices do they work on? What channels do they offer?
No, I did not know that. But you do realize that you're probably better off than you think. If you have DirectLink's Easy Video TV now, you're already using a streaming service. But listen, you don't have to go this alone. DirectLink is actually helping their members transition to their next video provider. The company has an extensive informational website where you can compare popular services, and they host live tutorials on streaming TV options to help you decide.
Well, hold the phone. Are you saying that they're actively trying to help their members switch to a competing service? Who does that?
Well, DirectLink does. I mean, I guess it's one more chapter in their long history of wanting the best for our community. They've actually offered free classes for the past 12 years that teach our neighbors about the latest technology and internet security practices. And don't forget, they also orchestrated that popular bingo game last year that helped keep everyone entertained and connected during the lockdowns. They've also launched special programs to help keep our students connected at home during the pandemic, and partnered with the city of Canby to give free Wi-Fi year-round at three local parks for locals and visitors alike.
Wait, DirectLink does all that?
They do indeed, and that's on top of providing the best and most reliable internet and voice services in town. So, to learn more about DirectLink services or how they can help you transition to the right video service for your home, visit directlink.coop today.
On the Canby Conversation today, I'm so excited to be able to welcome back one of my dear friends, Ray Keen of the Canby Center. Hi, Ray. Welcome.
Hey, how's it going?
It's been a little while.
It has. A couple things have happened, you know.
I think you were actually my first like live interview when the pandemic hit.
Oh,
we came
wow.
And we were sitting at this desk and talking about how you guys had gone from all of these different programs to just food for like a couple of months because it was such a high need. But a lot has happened. I don't know if people listening had realized there's been over the past year or two a number of calamitous events that have affected our community. And there's been a lot of talk about leadership and through crises, and both locally and obviously state and region and nation, and on all those levels as well, division. A lot of talk about that. Mm-hmm. You and some other local folks and some local groups are putting together an event, a really unique, one-of-a-kind event later this month that's going to kind of delve into some of this stuff. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it's called Canby Community Summit, and the idea is fairly simple. It's a relational process of getting Canby's leaders together so that they might get to know one another a little bit, laugh a little bit, and remember the common goals, really, that we all share.
Mm-hmm. My understanding, you guys cast a pretty wide net to try to bring...
We did.
At least invite everybody
we
to
did.
The table.
I'm sure we missed a few, but we tried our best not to. So about 125 invitations have gone out to civic leaders with the city, police, fire, mayor, city council members, mm-hmm. school board leaders, leaders within the school district, thinking about also our business leaders in the community, other nonprofit leaders, and spiritual leaders too, faith leaders in the community, and just inviting all those folks together for a very, very special night. And, you know, really the dinner just is there to facilitate the strengthening of relationships among Canby's leaders. Mm-hmm. For the purpose of strengthening our community.
To that topic of division, so some of those folks you mentioned, and we won't say any names, but have...
Well, I was going to say you.
Obviously, but... me is a huge problem. Everyone knows that. But, the folks disagree, misalign a lot of times privately. Mm. Some of those folks very publicly have had disagreements and whatnot. And when we talk about division, and people talk about this a lot, because it's a problem. It's something people feel emotionally, I think, when they see families breaking apart, maybe friends, a long time. because of something said on social media or whatnot. It feels very one-directional, right? Like, yeah. Things are just getting worse and worse. And then you're talking about this event, and we're going to bring some of these people that we know don't see eye to eye about certain things into the same room. Is that a little scary? What was the thinking about? let's do it this way.
Well, you know, I have two responses as I share this idea with people. And the first response is, wow, that sounds a little bit crazy.
Yeah.
Do you realize what could happen?
Yes.
And then, you know, the other response usually immediately following that is such a good idea.
Yeah.
I'm so glad somebody is working to strengthen our community by getting people in the same room together.
Yeah.
I think one of the challenges is just pretty simple, and that is, you know, folks who serve together on a council or on a committee or in other ways, sometimes we don't get an opportunity to get to know each other as people.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that we're all gonna, you know, want to enjoy life in the same way or do the same things, but.
Yeah.
We do have a lot of common ground in terms of the goals that we pursue for our community,
right.
In the way that we'd like this to be a place where our children and grandchildren would really thrive and
right.
grow. And so when you think about it, at the end of the day, I think there's a lot of things that we share in common. And if we can get past some of the stuff that gets in the way of that, when we think about our own perspectives and our own interests and our own position, sometimes when we can see that there's another person on the other side of the table, it can really help us actually to collaborate in a stronger way to
right.
achieve those goals.
Right, right. I know you've been getting a lot of questions, Ray, about, so what exactly are we doing at this night? I mean, I picture, like, trust falls, and we're going to get the blindfolds out, and we're going to do camp-type challenges.
Didn't I tell you you were signed up for the trust fall?
Yes, yes.
Good, good. Yeah. You've got that station, then.
Okay.
That's great.
Okay. Do I get to pick who I catch? Cause...
Well, no.
Okay,
it's going to be pre-selected for you. And we've found your favorite friends and enemies
to
be in the trust fall. No, I mean, I think in many ways people can expect just a wonderful evening.
Yeah,
it's going to
be entertainment and food.
You know, Michael Allen Harrison is a well-known pianist in the area. He does the 10 Grands concert series. He
yeah.
will be there that night bringing special music. We have some humor planned for the night because I think it's important when people come together, especially when we might see things from a different perspective, it's important that we have an opportunity just to take a little bit of the pressure off and
yeah.
laugh a little.
Yeah.
So
it opens so many doors.
So excited about that stuff. We're also, as I touched on briefly, we're going to have some table talk around the table, some time dedicated where about 8 leaders at a table will speak into particular questions that will be preformed for that night. One example of a question is, in Canby, what kinds of characteristics or values would you like to see shared with or strengthened for future generations? And I think a question like that gets us processing what has Canby meant to us in the past in terms of our history, but also what is the possibility for Canby? What are some of those values that we maybe like to see brought into the community or strengthened in the community? So hopefully there's a place for folks who, you know, maybe seeing that from either ends of the spectrum
yeah.
and that they will have a voice there that night. Those questions will be circulated around the table, and then we'll gather up some of the detail about responses to those questions. And at the end of the night, we'll summarize that and bring it back to the whole audience. So that night, everyone will have a sense of what was shared at the table.
Yeah,
so it's just
like
an example of part of what we're doing that night to help strengthen relationship and strengthen some more collective intelligence about what Canby is.
Yeah, I can see that being really cool
yeah.
and really helpful. I'm a little disappointed you didn't take my idea, which I felt was a good idea, which was, you know, take all the funds for the food and the entertainment and just, you know, nix that stuff and just open bar. You know, just open bar all night long, and people are going to be feeling good and put their differences aside and just have a good time, or we're just going to destroy the whole town. But one way or another, we're going to work some stuff out.
We're going to work it out. That's for sure. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I want to ask...
We couldn't afford the metal detector at the door that would be necessary.
Fair enough.
Sorry.
Fair enough. Yes. Okay. That makes sense. That totally tracks. I do want to ask your motivation and the other folks organizing this, because it's really, something that's important to our community's health and future, that we can get past some of this stuff. And maybe, as you said, not necessarily love each other and be best friends and not even, you know, totally buy into each other's views or whatnot, but at least understand and be able to work together without animosity, right? Respect one another. Is that your motivation? Do you see this as sort of a community health type thing, or what is your motivation here?
I mean, the mission of Rotary International really directs us as Rotarians to be those kind of people who promote peace. Usually Rotary does that with its 1.2 million members on a very international scale.
Yeah.
So you think of Afghanistan and Pakistan coming to the table to have conversations. Rotarians oftentimes are facilitating that kind of dialogue. But we sense a need in our community for this component of peacemaking at this time.
Yeah.
With the leaders that I interact with on a regular basis, I know many of them are weary. They are a little bit struggling to see the way forward. And I think some of that just has to come through a relational process. It really just has to. When you think about, an IQ test, somebody sits down to take an IQ test, an IQ test is really good at assessing somebody's capacity to solve a fairly straightforward, kind of well-defined, boundary set sort of problem. And usually there's like one right answer.
Yeah.
But our community has many problems that we are facing right now. The pandemic is just one of those problems that we're facing. And there isn't a singular, simple right answer to that kind of problem. Problems like that require a great deal of creativity. Creativity through connection of relationships with other people.
Yeah.
And through really collegial dialogue that's going to help build answers to these kind of problems. I mean, there's other challenges we face in our town too. Housing is an issue.
Yeah.
Thinking about traffic flow and some of those sort of things. Education, how do we keep our kids in school and keep people safe? These problems don't have singular answers.
Yeah.
They require us to get along to some degree or another and come up with collaborative solutions.
Yeah.
So that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah. And this night specifically, are we going to be looking at some of those problems, not so deep. It's more about on a personal level.
Yeah, I think we won't be diving into the particulars of those problems. My hope is that the groups that are already established and some of those councils and others will use that night really as a way to build better relationships so that in their teams, they're able to solve those problems more collaboratively.
Yeah.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
It's not our place to try and take over any sort of control of anything in town, but to actually strengthen the units that are already in place.
Yeah. And so this idea really emerged out of your role as president of the Canby Rotary. Interesting that, it's so sort of extra Rotary focused, right? Like, if I were president, I would think, and I know you've done a number of things as well, but like, I would say, okay, how can I improve Rotary? It'd be very like, focused on the club that I'm the president of. And this is an initiative that's extremely outward focused and on a number of other groups and organizations.
Well, I think that goes without saying that one of the best ways to help grow any sort of organization is to move from a place of looking at the inside of who you are and how you operate to thinking about your place in the world and how you bring benefit to others.
Yeah.
And I think this is one of the areas that Rotary really has the opportunity to bring great benefit to others. And I think it's our time to step forward in that. As I began to wrestle through the question of who else is going to step up and bring Canby's leaders together at this time to have some dialogue and build better collaboration, I just wasn't coming up with those names.
Yeah.
I think it really is on our shoulders at this time to respond and to care. And I also believe that as we do that, as Rotarians, we're going to see Rotary grow stronger through the process. Mm-hmm. We're already seeing people express interest in joining Rotary. And a lot of that comes out of doing things that are meaningful.
Right.
This is probably one of easily the top 10, maybe the top 5 issues in our community right now that is on everybody's heart and mind.
Yeah.
And Rotary wants to be a part of bringing some solutions to the table.
Yeah. Is your hope and expectation that this becomes an ongoing type of recurring event, or at least conversation, that it's not just a one-off, one-night thing?
Yeah, it's a good, it's a really good question, because I've been to those events before, and you have too, probably, where you thought it was going to be one thing, but then you show up and it's sort of a bait and switch.
Yeah,
I'm really against the bait and switch approach. So what people
why
can expect,
sell us time chairs?
Right? What people can expect,
heck, right?
they can just expect to come and have a great evening and walk away. I hope.
Yeah.
Many will walk away feeling more compelled to find ways to work together.
Yeah.
Than to, you know, dig in more to particular views. So my hope is that that's what people feel. There is some space being created through this event to allow for an event next year of some form, some fashion. Maybe it's not focused on this issue.
Yeah.
But I think there's real value in gathering Canby's leaders once a year for things that are on the top of our priority list as a community.
Yeah.
I think the people, the neighbors that we serve for, those neighbors that we serve in our community, they really expect us as leaders to be doing this kind of work, to be working collaboratively to solve problems.
Yeah.
And when they see division and discord, I think it really increases distrust and just creates more problems in the community. So our hope is that next year we're talking about something slightly different, but that we're gathering again as leaders. That would be good. I also know that there'll be some folks there that night who are highly interested in seeing this kind of an approach taken in their community. Mm-hmm. So other communities around us are watching.
Yeah.
They're paying attention to how do you address the division and discord that seems to be prevalent in our nation at this time?
Yeah.
And how do you do that on a local level?
Yeah.
This is just a beginning. That's all it is. It's just a beginning. But I don't think I would sleep well at night knowing that we had the chance to begin a process or a season of better collaboration, and we didn't take that step.
Right.
Because it was risky or something. So,
No, I love one thing that I really love about it, and you know, we've talked about this as well a little bit during this conversation, but there's this a sense of sort of hopelessness and sort of inevitability about our division. It's almost, to some people, it's a punchline, you know, something to joke about and sort of a dark kind of cynical joke, but that it's just, you know, immutable at this point. And I think, you know, some people can go that route, but I think it's, and maybe, you know, some people aren't going to change, but I think it's very bold and humanizing of everyone to try, right? To at least say, no, I think that all of us can do better, and I'm not just gonna say that like let's do better like a almost like a shame type thing, like do better, but like no, let's actually all come together, and I'm gonna put myself out there because I really do believe that you're a person and we can, and that you have value, and that we can all do better as a community. So
absolutely.
So yeah, thank you for doing that. Glad it's your neck on the line. anything else to share, Ray?
You know, we know that this event won't eliminate conflict in Canby, but we do see it beginning a season of collaborative problem solving and deepening personal respect between leaders.
Yeah.
You know, we're not requiring any sort of an ongoing commitment from people, and that's with intention. I think the ongoing commitment that we're seeking out is the very same thing that we would want from any of our neighbors, that they would have an authentic care for one another, that they would take the time to stop and understand before, you know, taking steps to accuse or anything along that line. I think as we make some steps in that direction, our community will just continue to be a place that's great to live. I love Canby.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people who love Canby. And one of the best ways we can invest in the future of Canby is through the relationships that are all around us.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right, Ray, well, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Megan Waterman. I'm the owner and operator of the Book Nook in Canby, Oregon.
And I'm Tyler Clausen of Now Hear This Canby, the show you're listening to. Megan, the Book Nook is one of my favorite places in all of Canby. It's a one-stop shop for gifts, board games, new books, used books, and books from local authors. Why did you decide to open it?
Well, I love the power of a story. I love how reading about different people and places, times, stretches my mind. It makes me see the world differently, whether that's a fantasy story or a biography. It all changes the lens that I see and how I interact with people. The reason that we added games to our store is for that same reason. It's just a different way to experience story through gameplay.
And along with new selection, you're at a new location, right?
We are. We just moved, technically just across the intersection to the old Parsons building. We've expanded our space and also our selection. So we've got more books, more gifts. We added a larger gaming section. And now with the world opening back up a little bit more, we're starting to relaunch some of our events. We have relaunched our general fiction and our fantasy book clubs, and those are going great. And we're about ready to kick off game nights, starting with our beginner Dungeons & Dragons camp, led by Camby's very own Tyler Clausen.
Hey, that's me! If you're interested in D&D, make sure you stop by the Book Nook and get more information about role-playing opportunities there.
Yeah, or stop by any time and chat with one of our booksellers about their current book recommendations and let us help you find your next favorite read. We're now open on Sundays as well, so we're there 7 days a week.
Nice. The Book Nook is in downtown Camby or online at booknookcamby.com.
And now, a message from Donna Ellison of Ellison Team Homes.
Hi, everyone. I wanted to take this moment to invite you personally to come and hang out with us for our end of season client event. It's a thank you to all the wonderful people we've done business with, as well as a welcome to a lot of our community. I'm doing this in partnership with Vanessa Zimmerman, Zimmerman team at Academy Mortgage. It's just kind of our way of saying thank you. We've really enjoyed getting to know you, doing business with you, etc. We'll be outside. We're sensitive to the fact that we're in COVID, still dealing with that. So it will be spread out. People will have room to breathe and sit and walk and talk. Reckless Company, if you've never heard them before, they're awesome. They're going to be playing. We'll have TMK here. I can't wait to try the corn dog. I've been waiting like 2 years to try this corn dog. So it looks amazing, and I've heard it's amazing, and I think there's quite a following. Also, they have all kinds of other food. We'll have beer and cider. Everything's hosted, of course, as a thank you. Again, it's for our clients. It's for our community. We really, really want to come and celebrate. We'll have swag for you, all kinds of fun things for the kids. We hope to see you on 9/16 from 4 to 8 in the afternoon.
All right, we are live here with Brian Anderson. He's a Salem, Oregon-based sculptor and carver, and is currently featured in the second season of the Food Network's Outrageous Pumpkins show, and is here today at the Camby Farmers Market. Hey, Ryan, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, man. What are you up to today at the market?
Just carving some pumpkins today, having a good time, enjoying some really nice weather.
Yeah, it's amazing. I decided to leave the chainsaws
No saws. Chainsaws are a huge mess when it comes to pumpkins, so yeah. I've had multiple people ask me, too, like, oh, where's the chainsaws? No.
Right.
Easy cleanup.
Yeah, absolutely. But your background professionally and in sculpting is with the chainsaws and more traditional things like wood and ice. Is that right?
It is. My background is chainsaw carving. I've been doing that for roughly about 17 years now.
Okay.
And I've been working with pumpkins now like this for roughly about six years or so.
Okay.
So I really enjoyed this because it's just a temporary art. It's not something meant to stick around for long periods of time.
Yeah.
So it's just fun to be able to do stuff that just, you know, it rots away in a week. And because there's really no wrong ways of carving pumpkins. Nah, not at all. I mean, I really enjoy it. You get to carve one thing, you get your photo of glory of it, and then then you move on to something else.
Yeah. Do you find that it brings out more creativity working with this stuff? I mean, your stuff is so creative.
I do. Yeah. I think some, I mean, I still use a lot of reference photos, but I mean, now a lot of the times when you just start to scrape away the pumpkins, I'll use a lot of the outlines as kind of like the mouth. So I'm kind of doing like kind of a creepy face right now, but the way I've scraped the rind off, I can use a lot of just the way the rind and the skin have worked. That's where I'll outline my mouth, and that kind of has a creepy look, and then I'll push the bottom lips down and give it lips. So I kind of let the pumpkin just kind of work right. itself out. I just bring out special features, and then the rest of it, just all for fun.
I love that. That's so cool. And it's you know, you work with things like wood and whatnot, but it's not like a block of marble, right? Where it's like,
no.
You know, this is really giving you some stuff to work with.
I really like using pumpkins because I get to use just hand tools now. I'm so used to using chainsaws and things that are heavier. So to go to transition from one toolbox to what I use for everything that I do is really, really nice.
Yeah.
So it's a nice change of pace. I call it my Funtober now.
Funtober. Yeah, awesome. Do you find you get more reactions from people as well with the pumpkins?
I think so. I mean, everybody can relate to pumpkins one way or another. Everybody's right. got a history of carving pumpkins at some point in their life.
Yeah.
So to just see something that's a little bit new and a little bit different, I've had a lot of people ask me the different type of tools, and they're just clay tools. There's nothing really special. Anything special to them. Just pick up tools online.
Yeah.
Go get a pumpkin and just start carving, because again, there's no right or wrong to pumpkin carving. You do it because you love it, and that's why I do it.
Yeah, very cool. I would love to, no spoilers, Ryan, but I'd love to hear a little bit more about what the experience was like with the Food Network show.
Sure. I can't speak nothing but good things about the show.
Yeah.
All the competitors are absolutely amazing. In fact, we all talk on a daily basis.
Yeah.
So being on the show, it almost wasn't a competition, even though it was. I mean, we hated seeing our friends having to leave.
Yeah.
You know, whenever that point had to come for anybody.
Yeah.
So, I really hope they bring
souls
me in.
There.
A lot of my like-minded souls, and it was great because normally you don't get to be around that often. So to be around a lot of pumpkin carvers, you learn a lot in a hurry.
Yeah.
And obviously your inspiration level goes from like 0 to 2,000 just so quick.
Yeah.
And of course, then, you know, we're all still competing for a lot of money too.
Right. Yeah. For sure. It was a little unexpected, was it, that you wound up there able to do that?
To do the show?
Yeah.
Yeah. I got a message last year, because the filming is done for the show, so
okay.
we're all done.
Right.
But I got a message last year in September from a casting agent
okay.
reaching out if the show was something that I'd be interested in doing.
Yeah. Had you heard of it?
I've heard of the show and everything. Obviously, I watched it. I'm a fan.
Yeah.
I've seen the previous seasons.
Yeah.
So it was really cool to get that kind of a call and asking if that's something that you'd be interested in doing, especially because I don't have a whole lot of experience in pumpkins. You know, there is a crap ton of other carvers out there
right.
that are a way better selection than I am.
Yeah.
And so, like, again, we did it in September.
And geography and kind of personality.
I don't know what they were looking at, but, like I said, I was for it. But once everything kind of came to, I didn't hear anything back from the network until last minute, really. And I had they called me when I had 6 days before I had to fly out to do the show. So I was very last minute.
Look like for you.
Yeah. Just like, hey, you want to get on a flight and come out here? Yeah, sounds great. When do you want to do it? 6 days. Okay.
Wow. And how long was the commitment?
We're just told that the time frame is anywhere from a week to 2.5 weeks, depending on how far you make it. So
gotcha.
The most that we would be on set would be for about 2.5 weeks.
Yeah.
And all I can say is that I'll never forget what a very unique it is. If somebody gets an opportunity to do it, do it.
Yeah.
Don't think about it in a way as, you know, oh, it's advertising, it's going to be great for you. Do it because you love to.
Yeah.
And because you'll never have another chance to do it again, and it's such an experience. The production company was absolutely amazing.
I just can't wait till they do the reality contest show of the local news podcasters. That's going to be
there you go. That's your stuff right there.
Yeah, can't wait. Ryan, thanks so much for taking time out to talk to us today.
My pleasure.
Find out more about what you do or follow you.
You can follow me on Instagram, Sculptures in Motion, and same with Facebook, Ryan Anderson, Sculptures in Motion. Pretty easy to find, and yeah, hope to see you guys all sometime down the road, and don't forget to watch.
Awesome. Thanks so much, and good luck.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Canby Hall Pass promo series, spotlighting outstanding restaurants and stores in our community. The Hall Pass offers up to $100 in savings and benefits the Canby Educational Foundation. Get yours at the Chamber Office or the Book Nook in downtown Canby, a program of the Clackamas County Business Recovery Center made possible by the Canby Area Chamber of Commerce in Clackamas County.
So for our entry today in the Canby Hall Pass promotional series, we're talking with Teresa Sassy of Puddin' River Chocolates. Hi, Teresa.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, good. How are you doing?
I'm just great.
So obviously I know, but tell us about what you do.
I own a chocolate shop. It's called Puddin' River Chocolates and Confections, and we do cheese fondue and all kinds of chocolates. A lot of custom stuff, and we have a lot of stuff going on right now with the holidays.
Absolutely.
Crazy.
Absolutely. You make all kinds of seasonal things,
yes.
And it changes.
Correct.
It's not the same sort of factory thing.
Right.
How and why did you get into the business that you're in?
Because it's, can use my creative juices, so to speak. The sky's the limit with chocolate. You can do just about anything you want. If you want to have fun, then you just go out there and have fun with it. And I think Canby needed to have a shop like this and offer it. I think people, instead of having to go to Portland to find it, they can find it right here in Canby.
Yeah. And we're in this agricultural valley.
Correct.
Where you're able
with
to
the hazelnuts
incorporate
and, yes.
nuts and berries and things that were grown right down the road sometimes, which
Correct.
Is so cool. To what do you attribute your success, Teresa? What do you think makes your business uniquely successful? Or unique?
The people that work for me and surround myself with. We try to have fun, and I think people are so good out there. We lift each other up, and we work really hard.
Awesome.
We work really hard.
Yeah, absolutely, very true. What do you think have been the keys, and this may follow on from what you just said, but a key to helping you and your business survive and recover from the pandemic?
The community. Canby is so supportive. I think they just automatically know when some of us small businesses might be hurting, all of a sudden they just show up.
Yeah.
And they pick us up, they carry us, and people are so humble and wonderful about carrying the small businesses and supporting us.
Absolutely. And it makes it a little easier to do that when it's like, you can come out and support us and you get chocolate.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's an easy sell.
Absolutely. And we love Canby and we give back where we can, but I think the community as a whole definitely support us.
Yeah. All right. Last question. Going to put you on the spot here, Teresa. This is a fun one. Tell us something that people might not know about you, something maybe unique or a hobby that you have that people might not know about.
A lot of people probably don't know. This first thing that comes to mind that in the early 80s, I worked on the North Slope in Alaska and worked on the pipeline.
Really? You worked
yes,
on the
I
pipeline?
Did.
No
yeah.
kidding. And
yeah.
that was when it was transporting chocolate, I believe.
Nope, it had nothing to do with chocolate back then. It was,
what was that
it was
like?
Quite an experience.
Yeah.
It was pretty fun. Mm-hmm. I hired a gal that actually lives on the Kenai Peninsula, and her and I've been talking a lot, and it's brought up a lot of
memories
and some of the fun stuff that I did up there.
Yeah.
And I didn't know it at the time when I was working up there, how lucky I was to do that.
Did you go up there sort of looking for an adventure, or did circumstance just kind of
Wind
up there?
Circumstances. I was working here at Cuts Forest Riftway in my early 20s, and my cousin worked up there, and she kept trying to get me to come up there, and I thought, I have nothing to lose.
Yeah.
And so I interviewed, by phone and stuff like that, and it was actually the Tuesday after Thanksgiving that I left to go up there, and I mean to tell you, the eye-opener.
Yeah.
It was like nothing I'd ever seen.
The landscape.
You know, the landscape, the ice runway that we landed on, it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
It was definitely an experience.
You must have been one of the few women, were you?
Yeah, there was not very many.
Yeah, what was that like?
It was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
You just have to be careful in a lot of different ways.
Right.
But the guys, they were good.
Yeah.
They were very respectful.
You probably learned a lot about yourself.
I did. A lot of them became my best friends, yeah. you know, up yeah. there, and very protective.
Yeah.
But it was just interesting seeing the caribou, seeing the from day to day the tundra colors change.
Yeah.
The fox, half of them were white, half were brown,
yeah.
depending on the seasons.
Right.
Anyway, it was very awesome. I'm very blessed to have had that.
Well, that's a great story.
Yep.
Yeah, thanks so much for telling us about the Philly. We almost talked more about that than your business. But,
right. No, that's okay. That's part of who I am, where I came from.
Very, very cool. Teresa Sassy, Puddin' River Chocolates. Check out Puddin' River on all the social media and puddinriverchocolates.com.
There you go. Perfect. Thanks, Tyler, so much.
Tyler, did you know that the Australian lyrebird can mimic any sound that it hears, even chainsaws?
No, that's super interesting.
Did you know that a baby puffin is called a puffling? Or that baby sea otters can't swim, so their moms wrap them up in pieces of kelp until they learn how to paddle?
Wait, do you know any trivia that isn't like animal related?
Not really, but here's some stuff you may not know about the Wild Hare Saloon, where Camby goes to eat and have fun.
Okay.
The Wild Hare is one of Camby's longest running locally owned restaurants. Owners Joan and Darren Moden have been in business for 16 years.
That's cool.
Yep. Heck, you were just a baby back then. And they love to give back. They've been members of the Camby Chamber for that long, and they donate over $20,000 to local sports, FFA programs, and civic organizations each year.
Wow, I'm legitimately caught off. That's cool.
Yeah. They also support more than 30 jobs in the community through their award-winning staff, some of them as young as 18. Hey, that's older than you are.
Dude, I'm 10 months younger than you.
With the days getting longer and the weather getting warmer, the Camby Wild Hare's expansive outdoor patio is the place to be. Furry friends, welcome.
Well, that sounds great. I'm going to go check them out just off of Highway 99E next to the Space Age in Camby at 1656 Beaver Creek Road in Oregon City, or on their website at thewildhairsaloon.net. Now Hear This Camby is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. And of course, our show is edited by Cameron Clausen. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So a round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Camby by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. To find more work from her, you can visit her website, olivia13.com.
Now Hear This Camby is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The production of Now Hear This Studios, Camby's locally owned, full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe. And we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.